Welcome to Red River Valley Today, a public service of East Texas Broadcasting, where we talk about people who make this a great place to live. Here's your host, Eric Kaufman.
My guest this morning, Steve Hyde, CEO, Paris Regional Medical Center. Always great to have Steve on. How you doing, Steve?
Oh, Eric, it's good to hear you. I'm doing well. We're doing well. Thank you.
Well, my last chat with Amanda, and I think we'll just start here because then we have a lot of other stuff to cover, but we are enjoying a break in COVID. So now hospital business, regular hospital business is easier to get done now, isn't it?
Yeah, it sure is. We don't have the burden and the challenge of dealing with a lot of COVID patients in-house. So, you know, normal hospital business from ER to outpatient visits to getting, you know, elective procedures done, we're back in business and ready to, you know, help people with whatever their healthcare needs might be. Yeah.
And I'm assuming too, all the renovation projects that are going on are also ready to move along a lot easier than they were.
Yes, very much so. We just have a few little things left over to do in the emergency department, and that's been a big renovation project. We're renovating the labor and delivery area, including the labor and delivery suites on women's services. We've just started a cath lab renovation project where we're replacing both of our cath labs to just bring up to most contemporary standards. We've got some other things going on, some lab replacements, some HVAC going on. There are just a lot of things going on. We're trying to continue to invest in facility and make sure we have the best facility possible, and also invest in new equipment that just allows us to continue to be cutting edge and state of the art in terms of the equipment that we provide here to the patients in our area.
And yesterday, a new the robot was named yesterday.
Yes. Yes, that was a cool project that Savannah worked with our local junior highs, and they came out with a competition to name our robot, and the name was
Myra.
So the kids were really good about having fun with that, and we're going to be putting a laminated sticker on the robot in the room, so our team members and employees and doctors here will affectionately refer to our robot as not robot, but as Myra in the go forward.
And, you know, with as much work as the hospital does with the community, I mean, how important was this for junior high aged kids to get this kind of exposure to the healthcare profession?
Yeah, it was elementary. I think I misspoke.
Oh, okay.
Junior high, elementary. But it was so cool because they came here, and both schools that participated, they came here, and we had one of the surgeons who actually uses a robot, and they were able to ask him questions, and their eyes were just big and bright, and they asked him all sorts of cool questions about the robot, and he was so patient and kind with them. But you can tell it really made their day hearing and seeing what the robot did, and that was really cool.
Do you know, because now I'm in, I don't know, Savannah's there, year three or four of doing interviews with people from the hospital, and I just think it is awesome, the passion that everybody I talk to has for their particular craft and what they do, but also for the hospital as a whole, like as an extended family. How, CEO, does that happen?
Well, you know, it's just we're blessed, Eric. We have just so many good people here. We really have good people that work in the hospital, good people that are on the medical staff. And, you know, by and large, everyone who works here really cares about what they're doing, really cares that the patients get the best care possible and best surgeries possible and the best outcomes possible. It's not always the case in healthcare. Things don't always go perfect. Someone might get a bad diagnosis, but then we do the best we can to try to help them through that. And so we're just blessed with a lot of good people who happen to work in healthcare.
Does that make, as this all kind of comes together, does that make recruitment a little easier?
It does. I think we have a good culture here. I think the medical staff has a great culture. I think the other team members that work here have a great culture. So when you walk through it, it's not uncommon that someone first to the hospital comments that, boy, you have a nice facility and people are so nice. People smiled at me and said hi and made eye contact. And apparently that's not the case other places you go. There's more of a personal feel here, more of a family, small town feel that's more personal than you get in some of the larger, more big city type organizations.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, it's just been a joy to watch, and I'm always excited every time I get somebody new to talk to on the radio. And, we just had a great visit about surgery not that long ago, and it was eye opening for me. And I got an education, and I think that's the passion that comes out whenever I get a doctor or healthcare professional that, yep, you know, is passionate about their job. And when we go to talk about it for the radio, we get lots of great information. So,
yeah. I'm the CEO of the hospital, but I like to think I'm the CEO of a bunch of experts. So in one way, I'm just the generalist. I just kind of hold things together. I'm not the expert. The experts are the surgeons, the orthopods, the urologists, the nurses that work in ICU. I mean, everyone that works here really has a niche, and they're experts in their unique field, and they all come together to hopefully deliver for the patients the best care that we can deliver for our community.
Well, May is a busy month. We've got Nurses Week, Hospital Week, and EMS Week all happening this month.
Yeah, we've got some exciting things. So next week is Hospitals Week and then Nurses Week, and we do a series of meals. You know, one of the greatest things you can do for people who work in the hospital is you feed them.
Yeah.
So we've got a series of fun meals with food trucks and special meals and a hospital giveaway that will be given away to our team members. And then we're doing some unique things for our nursing workforce as well. And that's always exciting. It's really always a time to say thank you. Thank you for the hard work that our clinicians deliver every day. And it's an opportunity for us to pause and say thank you.
EMS Week, of course, and those people don't actually work at the hospital, but they do spend a lot of time at the hospital.
Yeah, absolutely. They're absolutely our partners. And the following week, we have a special luncheon for them as well. We're going to try to do it, weather permitting, out on the lawn in front of the hospital and have food trucks out for them and just kind of celebrate them and give them a special day for our regional and local EMS providers. Yeah, they're not necessarily employed by us, but boy, you know, they're a critical link in our healthcare network and system here. We couldn't do what we do without them, and we're appreciative equally of all that they do every day.
And I know we've got a walk with a doc coming up again, I think on Thursday.
Yep, that's right. That's right. So that's really a cool thing. Oftentimes Dr. Green kind of leads that, where a bunch of folks get together and she talks a little bit about health awareness and healthcare issues, and then they take a walk or talk as they're walking at the same time, and just an opportunity to just promote health and well-being. You know, walking is one of the healthiest things you can do for yourself from a wellness standpoint. It's low impact on your body and great for your cardiovascular and healthcare system. So we try to partner those two things together and really promote wellness and health.
Again, that's ongoing. And now, was that happening monthly before all this madness started? So are we going to go back to that?
Yep. We're getting back to doing that monthly now, and we'll be publicizing those on our Facebook page and various things like that. And it's just a fun opportunity to have access to a physician free of charge and get some free healthcare information and to promote wellness.
I know that you talked about an update with just a few things left for the ED renovation and the labor, the labor and delivery project is underway.
Yeah.
Are there meetings that have been held for like future things? Do you have I asked the nurses not that long ago, a couple of nurses I had on, do you have a wish list? And they laughed.
Yeah. We always have a wish list. Yeah. So those go through a pretty significant vetting process. So we have a couple other things that are coming. kind of things that aren't necessarily in the public eye. For example, new chemistry analyzers for our laboratory to again upgrade our technology and equipment there. Those are in the works and hope to be funded and replaced here before the year's out. And then HVAC units. So HVAC stands for heating, ventilation, and air conditioning. So in big entities and big buildings like us, you know, the heating and air conditioning are all comprised in one large unit. And we probably have 35 or 40 unique HVAC units here in the hospital. It's not just one, it's multiple. And we're looking to replace the HVAC that regulates the hot air, the cold air in our ICU and the ED. So both those areas still have kind of old legacy systems that aren't really good about regulating temperature. Bottom line, what it's going to allow for is in the go forward, we'll be able to regulate temperature in every distinct ED room and every distinct ICU room. Right now, we're just regulating temperature kind of in the area, mm-hmm. and that's not always the best. So this new technology is going to really, make it more comfortable for our patients. So those are kind of things that are going to be happening. Still very, very significant, probably about $2.5 million all told. It's amazing how much stuff costs here, but kind of behind the scenes. But at the end of the day, it's going to promote better healthcare, better quality, and better comfort for our patients.
Let's talk about community outreach. And of course, I think your report comes out, at the end of July, first part of August?
Yeah, approximately.
Uh-huh. Okay. How has that gone thus far in at least in 2022, especially now that things are kind of letting up with COVID?
Yeah. So you're talking about the community benefits report or just other outreach?
Well, community benefits, yes. And then, just as a whole, what the hospital's been able to do. This year, has it been a little easier to kind of connect?
Yeah, the last big surge we had for COVID patients was January.
Yeah.
So January and kind of February, and then really starting March, which is just, less than 60 days ago, it's just really sort of calmed down. So right now we're looking at what we can do to kind of get back out into the community and to do more things. This walk with the doc is one thing. Mm-hmm. Having get together with our EMS providers and providing them lunch is another thing. Feeding our staff and for hospital week is one thing. Probably in the midst of COVID, we couldn't do that. So I'd say in many ways, we're kind of getting back to normal operations, and we're exploring other ways that we can be involved with the community. I know like the Tour de Paris and other things that we're looking at, how we can get plugged in and get back serving and promoting the community. We tend to do things around Thanksgiving and Christmas as well for the less fortunate in our community. And we hope to get back to doing that this year as well as other things. You know, as events start to ramp up, we want to continue to be a sponsor and to attend and to support local charity events, just like we've done in the past.
You know, Paris has, I've been here for almost 9 years now, and in the last 2 or 3 years, we've gone through a pretty significant growth spurt, population-wise and otherwise. We're seeing new homes being built and the retail world getting a little larger here. Twofold on that, have you noticed a change in demand for the hospital because it appears we have more people here in Lamar County and the surrounding area?
You mentioned some growth in the area, and then you kind of cut out.
Okay. Well, I'll back up. Have you noticed an increase or anything in the hospital in services needed or anything? Has this growth in the area been felt at the hospital in that way?
I don't believe so just yet, Eric. I think we're still recovering from and getting people back seeking care as they need it. We haven't quite seen it in the healthcare sector yet. I think that's going to be more of a lagging indicator as new businesses and people are drawn to Paris. But I wouldn't say that we've necessarily seen it so far yet in the healthcare volume and service that we're seeing.
Okay, and then the other side of that coin, as far as our growth here goes, as these things happen and we see all these improvements and more people here,
is that gonna
help the hospital grow or make it easier for you to again recruit new talent?
Yes, absolutely. I think that's absolutely going to happen. As we have more retail space, more restaurant space, more other amenities here, it really helps us to recruit people who might live elsewhere, to encourage them to relocate to Paris and seek a job here. So I think absolutely it's going to help. As these regional area lakes kind of get up and working, I think we're going to see a greater influx of weekend and long weekend people kind of coming through our area. Now, when they pass through the area to go to a lake, they don't necessarily need healthcare, you know, but it is a more of an awareness for them. Oh, I saw a hospital there.
Right.
And it gives them a sense of comfort for their families. Should something happen, they know they don't have to hustle back to Dallas 2 hours away to get something done. So I think all those are very good. And the growth that we're experiencing and seeing in the community is going to certainly pay great dividends down the road for us and our community, as well as the hospital.
Do you, does the hospital or you at the hospital get a chance to be a part of like economic development meetings or planning meetings like that?
Yes. I have some, I don't sit on any of their committees, but I have good conversations with the key people on the economic development committee. I have good relationships with several of them. And it wasn't too long ago, I think 2 or 3 weeks ago, I was visited by Maureen Hammond and did a survey with them, and as well as I know other people on the committee, and I certainly will weigh in with my thoughts and suggestions as they ask and when I'm given an opportunity to do that. So I feel like, you know, I feel like the city is moving in a really good direction in terms of opportunities for economic development in the go forward.
And of course, the plan and with our EDC here, of course, they don't bring retail to town. They just look to bring industry, and more jobs. And of course, obviously, the hospital would play into that.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah, I think we're moving in a good direction there, and you know, I think we're going to continue to grow little by little as a hospital. We're always looking to add new services, recruit new physicians with different skills and talents than we currently have here, and to beef up the current capabilities to where we have more resources in all those areas. So we're looking to continue to grow and develop as an organization.
Well, once again, I just think the hospital has been a tremendous asset for this community on every level. But I'm partial.
Well, thank you. I know we don't always get it right, but there is absolutely a lot of well-intentioned, good-hearted, great people that work here and trying every day to do a great job for the community.
Is there anything else you wanted to pass along today?
No, I think we've hit on the highlights there, Eric. Thank you very much for taking time with us today.
Well, I appreciate you taking time out of your busy day and visiting with us, Steve, and we look forward to our next visit.
All right. Sounds good, sir. Thank you.
Okay, right back into it. Alan Hubbard is in here from the Downtown Food Bank. Welcome. How you doing, man?
Good, man. Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. So we got a little bit to talk about here. First things first, you guys are going to be moving out to the fairgrounds for a little while.
We are. So our parking lot on the east side of our major buildings, like an acre parking lot, is in horrible shape. And
right.
We're having it concreted. And
okay.
So during that time, we can't be open like we usually are for folks to come in. We're a grocery store style pantry. Folks are not going to be able to come in because we can't get deliveries and things like that.
Sure.
So we're going to move to the fairgrounds until the parking lot's finished. And if the weather cooperates, 6 weeks. If it doesn't, we'll be there through the summer.
Okay. Yeah, well, you know, this is Northeast Texas, and so Mother Nature doesn't always play nice.
Correct.
So now, When is the planned move, Alan?
It is next week. So this is our last week of normal operations.
All right.
Starting on Monday, May the 9th, we will be at the fairgrounds in front of the Coliseum. Folks will not even have to get out of their car.
Okay, they just drive in, drive right on through, right?
We're hoping they'll pull in off of Clement Road, which is the road down by the rodeo arena.
Right.
Come down Gene Watson Boulevard. We'll check them in with an iPad. They'll pop their trunk. We load a box of food. And then they drive out off of onto Hickory.
I mean, so easy peasy.
Very easy. In fact, easier than it usually is.
Okay.
Now, unfortunately, we don't have as much food to give during this time because these are pre-made boxes. It's 25 pounds. It's got a variety of things in it, but it's not cold, frozen, no fresh produce, no milk, no eggs. We apologize for that, but it's better than nothing. And it's the best we can do while we get this parking lot.
I mean, if you need food, you need food.
That's
and of course, it's a difference because down there, you're grocery store style.
Correct.
So your people can go down and pick this, take this, two items, three items.
That's right.
So on and so forth. Of course, you don't have the luxury of doing it out there. Of course, there's no refrigeration to start with.
Correct.
And so people are just going to have to do it. Now, for the rest of this week, though, hours are going to be
open
written.
At the normal times, yeah. And in fact, we're open at the normal times for this box model distribution at the fairgrounds. As we usually are, and that is Tuesday afternoons from 1:30 to 4:30.
Okay, so today.
Today from 1:30 to 4:30, and then Thursday morning, 8:30 to 11:30.
Okay.
Those days and times will not change even when we're at the fairgrounds. But, yes, this week is normal.
Okay.
At the pantry itself.
And then hopefully you're hoping about 6 weeks on the parking lot. Of course, they got to tear all that up and redo the rebar,
out,
the whole thing.
Rebar, form it up, and then pour it. And,
yep.
And that's supposed to all take about 3 weeks if the weather cooperates. And then it's got to dry and cure for 3 weeks.
Right. It's got to cure for a while.
So
parking lot. And that's a big
minimum.
Parking lot.
Yeah,
so
it's an acre. It's huge. Yeah.
Okay. So, anything else going on we need
to
talk about?
We really appreciate you guys letting us let everybody know, and we want to let folks know that People's Bank, Liberty Bank, First Federal Community Bank, and Farmers Bank and Trust, plus a private donor, have all helped to make this happen. We've written grants. This is a huge, huge expense, but we're there, and we're letting people know we're going to be stable with a good parking lot, and the building has got a new roof, and we're not going anywhere.
Yeah, a one-acre parking lot for all the y'all. That's an expensive concrete job.
Yeah,
it is. Okay, so thank you to the local banks, and people need to get a hold of you. Throw that out there for us.
903-737-8870, which is really easy. So just 737-8870 or downtownfoodpantry.org.
Okay, yeah, .org.
.org. Yeah.
Okay, folks, there you have it. Alan Hubbard, thanks for coming in, buddy.
Man.
You've been listening to Red River Valley Today, a public service of East Texas Broadcasting. If you have suggestions for a guest, email eric@easttexasradio.com. That's eric@easttexasradio.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week, right here on Red River Valley Today.